This is WLVR News. During budget negotiations in June, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and the GOP-controlled legislature scuttled a rule to give more workers overtime pay. The policy could have benefited as many as 190,000 salaried employees, but WESA's Anli Herring reports its repeal provoked little public outcry.
In a typical week, Dabney Gurguris works more than 40 hours. As an assistant manager at a restaurant outside Pittsburgh, she often works 55 hours or more.
Someone's always calling off, whether it's a back-of-house person, a front-of-house person, a host, like, whatever happens, the manager has to pick up the slack. So, you know, if two people call off, I'm going to end up staying.
Gurguris says her job has gotten more demanding with COVID-19 because restaurants are struggling to hire workers. That leaves even more slack for her to pick up and less time for her to spend with people she cares about. To make things worse, she doesn't get paid for pulling extra hours.
I would feel less guilty about staying at work if I was making money, if I was benefiting from it somehow.
Gurguris makes roughly $44,000 a year, too much to qualify automatically for government-mandated overtime pay. Only salaried workers who earn less than about $36,000 are guaranteed that benefit, which pays time and a half for time beyond the 40-hour threshold. In Pennsylvania, the salary floor had been set to begin rising in October to about $45,000. State regulators spent 2 years crafting that plan, but Governor Wolf let Republican lawmakers kill it during this summer's budget negotiations. In return, he got $100 million for the state's poorest schools.
I'm all for the increased funding for education, but he left a lot of workers still having to work 50, 60 hours a week, getting $15 an hour to run a store and not get overtime for doing all that extra work.
Rick Bloomingdale is president of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. He lobbied for the overtime pay expansion and says he was shocked and disappointed by the budget deal that killed it. Wolf's office didn't respond directly when asked what explanation it would give to workers who lost out on the chance for overtime, but in a statement, the office said the governor plans to advance other pro-labor regulations and supports further federal action on overtime pay. Wolf hasn't faced much blowback for the deal. Gurguris says she didn't know about it, and Bloomingdale says she's not alone.
Those workers, because they're not organized, I don't know that they knew they were going to get this. Right. Because even though it had passed or the regulation had been done, again, because there's no organization fighting for mid-level supervisors at Wawa and Sheetz, for instance.
By contrast, employers fought hard against the overtime expansion. The Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry led the charge. Its government affairs director, Alex Halper, says the group had been willing to accept a minimum wage increase if Wolf would drop the overtime rule.
The input that we heard from employers, you know, all over Pennsylvania indicated that the overtime proposal just had a very, very significant impact on their workplace and, you know, how they manage their workforce.
Businesses argued the new rule would force them to convert salaried employees into hourly workers. And they said the rule would put them at a disadvantage compared to employers in other states. Nonprofits worried they couldn't afford the extra pay. But supporters of the overtime expansion say the scales have been tilted against workers for far too long. Steven Herzenberg of the Keystone Research Center notes the share of salaried workers who are guaranteed overtime pay is less than one quarter what it was in the 1970s.
People are so used to a situation in which they can be asked to stay in their department an extra 2 hours because someone else has not shown up. They're just doing it for that same fixed amount they get each week as a salaried worker.
That cultural shift has been underway for decades, and Herzenberg says that helps to explain why Wolf's budget deal didn't stoke more controversy. Anli Herring in Pittsburgh.